This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
Brought to you this week by Senglob Financial Group, reminding you to support pro-life causes.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, the rector at the seminary. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Thanksgiving is a way of life for us as Christians, and for us as Catholics, we know that the word Eucharist means Thanksgiving. So our whole life is an oblation, a prayer of gratitude to God for His many gifts. And as we celebrate that this weekend in a very special way, we know that the gift of our faith is certainly the first thing we think of in terms of the graces that come to us from God, the gift of Jesus, and the gift of the seminary here in Milwaukee. You know, we're blessed to have our own seminary in this archdiocese, and that means our future priests are formed locally, are formed pastorally in the very parishes that one day they will serve. We are blessed to have 35 men studying for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee this year, and they come from our own backyard and from around the world, united by that call that God has stirred up in their hearts to give their lives to Christ in the priesthood. Also this year, for the first time in almost 20 years, we have a seminarian from another diocese, and we thank Bishop Ricken of Green Bay for sending us Kurt Kraus. Kurt is in his pre-theology year, studying philosophy, preparing for five more years of study and preparation as he studies for his Diocese of Green Bay. Last year, we ordained five new priests, and we hope to ordain five more in May of 2011, and as many as seven or eight in 2012. We have a great new video that highlights the glory, inspiration, and excitement of the ordination ceremony. If you've never been to a priestly ordination, highly recommend and invite you to come to the one in May of 2011, because you see there on full display the meaning of the priesthood, the sacrifice of living our life for Christ, of laying our lives down for the service of others in the power of the gospel and in the name of the church. And so the seminary is on a roll, and we thank you for participating in our momentum. Speaking of Thanksgiving, speaking of service, speaking of sacrifice, speaking of laying our lives down, we're blessed to have Jerry Felsecker with us today. He recently retired as executive director of the St. Vincent de Paul Society in June. And he had spent 35 years in that position. All told, he has worked with and for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul for 40 years. He's a third-generation volunteer in his family. And 15 years ago, he was placed in charge of the National Committee that established a training program aimed at deepening Vincentians' spiritual connection to their work. In so many ways, Jerry is the human face of the society here in Milwaukee, and this day after Thanksgiving, when we count our blessings and also think of the poor, it's appropriate that we have Jerry with us. So, Jerry, welcome to our program, and we're honored and delighted that you're here with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Father John.
Are you enjoying your quote-unquote retirement so far?
I guess so. I'm still getting used to it. I have been called back into some services of coordinating the different councils in the 10 counties of the Archdiocese. So it's not like I left everything behind.
And once a Vincentian, always a Vincentian.
And right? I'm still active at my parish of Our Lady of Lourdes.
That's right. Maybe I think it would be really insightful for our listeners to know in depth what the Society is all about. I mean, many people know that the Society is in their parish to help the poor. Oftentimes, Vincent de Paul Society works behind the scenes, isn't real self-promoting. So in your deep experience of the Society, what would you say the essence of it is?
It's definitely a call to holiness. When you ask the average person, what do they think of with St. Vincent de Paul, they think of help for the poor. or helping people through our stores or meal programs. But looking closer at the whole thing, it's really following in the footsteps of Vincent de Paul and Jesus in terms of finding out that in our dealings to help people, we really are the poor people.
That's something that struck me. I've been blessed to be the spiritual advisor for the society for 11 years. And like you said, Jerry, I think the first thing that people think of is the action part of the society. We're going to go out and help the poor, change the world, make things better. But the first principle, as laid out by Frederick Ozanam, is really the growth and holiness of the members. And that's something we've certainly tried to work on in terms of the spirituality committee, just to make those connections between who we are, what we do, and how do we grow in our faith and in our spirituality. A little bit about the history of the society, Jerry. It started in Paris in the 1840s?
1833.
Okay.
At the Sorbonne University. Little of the background there. To understand the society today, we really have to look backwards. And this was a period right after the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church had pretty much identified itself with the monarchy and the royalty, which were overthrown, and the society the church was held in derision, especially in academic circles, mm-hmm. and in Paris especially. And so we find a group of Catholic provincial students coming to Paris, going to the university, and trying to defend their faith. And so they began meeting to do that, mm-hmm. and eventually concluded that it's not so much talking the talk as mm-hmm. walking the walk. And so to the accusation, what is the church? Is your faith alive? What is the church doing to change things, make the world better? These young folks, probably idealistically, mm-hmm. decided to go out into the ghettos of Paris and to begin helping people. And so the reason for the society then was to give witness, to mm-hmm. show their fellow classmates and professors that their faith still leads to action mm-hmm. to benefit people.
And it's been carried on since that day. The society is the largest lay organization in the church, and it's really spread to every continent, country, and culture.
Amazingly, within the first year of those six students coming mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. they had over 100 that joined them.
That's absolutely amazing.
And then they spread beyond Paris, and actually our first archbishop, Bishop Henney, knew here from Austria, mm-hmm. was familiar with the society there, and began a conference in 1849.
So the society in Milwaukee goes back to the beginning of
the
Archdiocese.
We're only 16 years yeah. from when this youth happening happened in Paris.
That's remarkable. But when you bring people together in faith, eventually they want to simply go out and do something about their faith, you know, to give witness to Christ. And Frederick Ozanam really looked to Vincent de Paul as an example of someone who transformed culture through faith, and especially went to the margins, went to the poor to discover their, you know, the presence of Christ, which is where the church should always be, is
right
to the margins.
What really happened, you know, the group just started off without Vincent de Paul is being part of the picture initially, mm-hmm. and Vincent de Paul had lived about 175 years mm-hmm. earlier, and they began visiting the poor, and they needed sort of mentoring as they ran into mm-hmm. situations, and a sister of charity, daughter of charity by the name of Sister Rosalie Rondeau, who was sort of the Mother Teresa of the time. She had a convent right in the ghetto, and the poor would come to her doorstep. She, in the tradition of Vincent de Paul, began to mentor those young students. Mm. And so they adopted Vincent de Paul as their model or hero, and his thought really affected how they approached the poor.
It's great to think of the society as a youth movement. You know, today most of the members are retired because they're the ones that have the time, and it's great to think of it as just this crazy group of college kids that came together and said, you know, let's do something for the gospel, for Christ. Let's make a difference in our culture and our society. Jerry, let's talk just a few moments about locally, the society here in Milwaukee has been experiencing growth, and it's been a blessing to be part of that whole dynamism over the last decade for me. Could you just highlight maybe a few of the projects, a few of the activities that really illustrate the work of the society here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee?
The main work of the society continues to be home visitation. We really always underline that, meeting people in crisis in their homes where they are comfortable, seeing how they live and talking with them personally. We try not to resemble a welfare association sort of thing and try to be more like good neighbors and friends. Right from the beginning, when the different parish groups started coming together, they formed what we call a council, which can take on multi-parish things. And so probably the first thing they did in Milwaukee was establish a home for delinquent boys, St. Charles Boys Home, which still exists to this day. But we started also collecting items from parishioners, donated items, usually kept in the rectory garage, believe it or not, if the pastor had space or was willing to park outside. And actually, it's from the garage at St. Francis Parish on 4th and Brown that they decided to rent a place on 3rd Street a couple blocks away as a store, and they began selling the surplus items to pick up the costs of the building. So, I mean, that was our earliest thing. And, you know, now we have in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee 14 of these locations. Milwaukee is particularly taxed, being one of the poorest cities in the country. And without any other organization helping people with furniture, especially, that, you know, pretty much at least half of the items donated to the stores in Milwaukee go out without charge to the poor.
So the home visit, the stores, certainly the meal program, all those things are key components of the work of the society.
Through the years, we also had run a shelter for men. It was evolved eventually to DePaul Rehab Hospital. We also had a series of halfway houses for men being released from prison. And so as needs, you know, from time to time come forth, the parishes through the council structure come together and find ways to deal with them, including, as you had mentioned, the meal program. The meal program, actually, St. Ben's had existed for some years downtown. And the Department of Human Concerns from the Archdiocese had done a survey of Southside pastors about the possible need for a meal program there. And this was like 27 years ago, I believe. And I attended, I was around then and attended some meetings. And ultimately, we were the ones who came together and found a location and got together about 30 congregations, Catholic and non-Catholic, and a synagogue in order to serve the meal once a month. And that eventually expanded to the north side also, where we have a smaller meal program. But we're open 6 days a week, and we feed... We serve approximately 150,000 people every year.
Yeah, that's truly amazing. It shows the depth of need and poverty in our city as well. We'll be taking a short break. We're talking with Jerry Felsecker, who is the recently retired executive director of the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Milwaukee. And this is the Friday after Thanksgiving. We'll be right back.
Did you know we have a few Marian treasures right here in the Milwaukee area? Why not visit the beautiful and scenic Marian Shrine of the Milwaukee Archdiocese located at 141 North 68th Street, or the Basilica of the National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians at Holy Hill? These scenic shrines offer a perfect place to relax, reflect, and pray. Brought to you by Senglob Financial for all your financial needs at 262-646-4466. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments Incorporated.
There are a lot of printing companies to choose from these days, and most of them can print your posters, letterhead, and business cards. But only Amerisign Graphics adds full-color banners and signs of all kinds, from small window signs to building-mounted structural and monument signs, plus trade show displays and full vehicle wraps. From business cards to billboards, Amerisign Graphics does it all. For your next print job, be sure to contact Scott Wargo for a special Relevant Radio listener discount. To learn more, visit RelevantRadioMilwaukee.com, keyword printing. That's keyword printing.
Senglob Financial Group of Delafield encourages you to support Milwaukee's needy children this Christmas by donating new or gently used toys. This special toy drive will benefit children supported by Repairers of the Breach and women's shelters throughout the Milwaukee area. Repairers of the Breach is Greater Milwaukee's Christian homeless shelter located on Valit Street. It is the area's only homeless shelter and resource center that is open during daytime hours. Collection will begin on Friday, November 28th and will end on Monday, December 20th. Collection locations for the toys will be the Marion Center in Wauwatosa, Catholic Books and Gifts in West Allis, Cedar Creek Winery in Cedarburg, and the office of Senglob Financial Group in Delafield. Toys needed for ages infant through adolescent and should be unwrapped. Questions? Call Joe Senglob at 262-442-7888. That's 262-442-7888. This message brought to you by Senglob Financial Group of Delafield. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Investments, Inc. Member SIPC.
Add a little sparkle to your look with Merle Norman's new Icy Cool Colors. Come in today for a complimentary makeup lesson and try the latest shades from the Winter 2010 Color Collection. Right now, when you purchase two or more Luxeva products, you'll receive a free gift with purchase that will make all your beauty wishes come true. A festive new look and free gift are available now at Merle Norman, Brookfield Square.
New heart, new spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hyatt.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hyatt, the rector there, and you're listening to our show, which airs every other Friday opposite Archbishop Listecki's show. Today, we're honored to have Jerry Felsecker with us. He's been talking with us about his work with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Jerry recently retired as the executive director of the society after 40 years of service here in our local church and the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which is the largest lay group throughout the world that serves the poor and is serious about growing in holiness. Jerry, something very interesting that I only discovered after I came to the seminary is the fact that St. Vincent de Paul, the patron of the society, obviously, and St. Francis de Sales, the patron of our seminary, were contemporaries. And not only that, but that they were friends and corresponded, prayed for each other's mission. Both of them had an amazing impact on the society and culture of their time. You know more about that? Their friendship and what they did?
I've learned most of what I know about that through you, Father.
Okay.
But I do think, you know, most people, when they think of Vincent de Paul, think of him as simply a compassionate, good manager, pretty wise, connected to the the halves of his day, mm-hmm. who was able to change hearts and collect money mm-hmm. and start programs that made him famous. But what is interesting is most don't know he did found a order called That's the Congregation right. of the Mission, often called the Vincentian Fathers. And that order wasn't primarily for taking care of the poor. It was for the education of the clergy. Mm-hmm. And what is somewhat common between Vincent and the lead student 150 years later, Frederick Ozanam, was that they both felt that the clergy needed help in caring for the poor mm-hmm. and help sometimes in attitudes also. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting that, we talked about growth and holiness mm-hmm. and helping the poor, but sort of the third leg of that tripod is really the support of the clergy.
It's interesting that, for Vincent, those two objectives were his vision of really reforming the church, I think. Outreach to the poor and formation of the clergy to really live their role of supporting the laity, and living out their baptismal priesthood. And that's a great point for us at the seminary. How do we inculcate that sense of social awareness? How do we form our priests so that they see that part of their mission is to help their parish to be socially concerned and to really extend themselves both in charity and justice to the poor, not only locally, but also nationally and internationally. I think, what would you say, Jerry, to our seminarians or to anyone preparing for the priesthood or living the priesthood in terms of the importance of St. Vincent de Paul Society and what positive impact that has on the parish itself?
Well, it is a Christian formation tool, if you will, mm-hmm. that, it's like Jesus, the chosen, those called to this ministry aren't necessarily powerful mm-hmm. or well-to-do or influential, but tend to be pretty much average Catholics mm-hmm. And who find, as with their basic desire to make things better, to help the poor, that they themselves need reconversion, and that being a Vincentian is a journey. It's a growth. And that growth often leads us to recognize the richness of the poor and our own attitudes and our own failings in terms of what we're being called to do. So I think there's a perfect partnership between this as primarily a lay movement and the clergy who basically make it happen. Mm-hmm. Vincentians get their religious formation through homilies, through the sacraments, and the priest can certainly help guide folks to do this kind of ministry mm-hmm. as an important ministry within the parish.
I've heard many priests voice their gratitude for the presence of the society in their parish, and they know that if someone comes to the door in need, they can call someone from the society, and that there'll be follow-through, there'll be a generous response, that the Vincentians will really bend over backwards to serve the needs of the people that come to our parishes looking for help of all kinds. So priests, I think, in general, are very grateful for the presence and the work of the society. Society, I think, too, is a leaven within the parish. It challenges everyone to be aware of the poor. Oftentimes it's tempting to think of the poor overseas or in the third world as somehow being more deserving than the poor locally. And yet many of our parishes have poor people living within them, and it's easy to overlook perhaps the people living down the street or down the freeway a few miles, and just to think of the poor in Haiti or in Africa.
So, I think in this environment, especially when donations may be down to the parish. Mm-hmm. We certainly have found that true in St. Vincent de Paul also, that, you know, it's much easier when things are okay to give a little bit, maybe some of the surplus, to help the poor of the parish. Now, when we're worried about paying the heating bill and other such things, it becomes much more of a sacrifice. And we need to continually reaffirm our priorities, and that the poor suffer more in these times.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that their needs can't be put as something we can't afford to do this year. We need to be faithful to our commitment to helping them at this time.
I know, speaking personally, my limited involvement with the society as their spiritual advisor has made me a better priest, a better Christian. It's consistently challenged me to reflect on my attitude, my response to the poor. And I've met just hundreds of amazing Vincentians who model in a very heroic but quiet way, you know, what it means to love sacrificially, what it means to go to the poor, not from a position of superiority, but really to live out Vincent's maxim that the poor are our masters and patrons because they take the place of Christ for us.
Yeah, that's so something that also constantly hits me, and it actually creates some tension in me and in the society, that if you look at the reason for the establishment of the first conference, you know, why those college students got together to serve, it was to give witness to the world. And yet, something in Vincentian thought from St. Vincent de Paul really helps us realize our own frailty and weaknesses. And generally, we don't draw people that are very extroverted in getting out the message.
Right.
They're more quiet, you know, confidential, supportive people. And so that need to say, hey, here's what's going on, which might appear to be bragging, but it's actually giving witness that faith is really bringing thousands of people into service to better the world.
Right. So it's never saying, look at us, but rather it's saying, look at what God is doing through us, you know, for the sake of the suffering and
precisely
the poor. And that's the witness the society is called to give. Jerry, it's just been a blessing having you here, and I just need to personally say a huge thank you to you, because in so many ways you've modeled for me the spirit of the society, and the spirit of the society is the spirit of the gospel. So I think St. Vincent de Paul is just a tremendous group that has a long life ahead of it, you know, until the end of the church, and we're in the parousia, I think, because it makes present the power of the gospel to the poor. So thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Our next show on Friday, December 10th, we'll be talking with two of our Candidacy 2012 seminarians, Enrique Hernandez and Brad Krofschek. So please join us for that. Come visit the seminary. Call for a tour at 414-747-6400 or email us with your questions at newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu. We thank you for joining us today. Please pray for the work of the society, and please pray that our future priests continue to be in the heart of Christ, following the example of both Francis and Vincent in reaching out to the world in the power of Christ. God bless you.
This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee has been brought to you by the Senglob Financial Group.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.